the platform. Step up and speak out.
Good evening and welcome to The Platform. It is Wednesday, the 17th of September, 2025. Hearing a different voice for this evening, I'm standing in for Brian Malvins-Tole. My name is Kaya Moy and I'll be your host this evening on The Platform. Today we are discussing the recent proposal by the United States of America to repeal the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, known as ZEDERA. Joining me today to unpack this, I'm joined by political analysts, Mr. Godwin Mureriwa and Mr. Rashid Mukundu. But before we get into our conversation, gentlemen, allow me to play a little analysis from Mr. Takura Jangaja, who is sharing his thoughts and will analyze his comments and get into our conversation shortly.
Well, it's a welcome move. The sanctions were never justified. The only primary challenge is that they have a condition around the lifting of these sanctions, which is the global compensation agreement around land. And that will obviously cause some problems around both the fast-track land reform program and then the principle and value of the liberation struggle about giving people their land back. So it is more like a commercial deal than it is a political deal. It is about private capital, and it is not necessarily about the political importance of the fact that sanctions should never have happened in the first place. No, Zimbabwe, at cost, Zimbabwe cannot clear that bill. It cannot fully compensate the white farmers, even though at law, in our Zimbabwean law, we are compensating white farmers for what they built on the land. But in relation to the bill that you're talking about, they're talking about compensation for everything. It's not just what was built on the land, but also what the land is in and of itself. So it's completely not pragmatic. It will not happen in the short term, and it's more symbolic. But like I indicated earlier, this appears more to be a commercial deal, or what even in the bill it says, the U.S. Bill, it says it's commercial diplomacy. That's what they're looking for. So that's not political diplomacy. That is more about business than it is about solidarity and organic bilateral relations.
That was a reaction or a analysis from political analyst Takura Jangaja there. And like I mentioned in my introduction, on the line I'm joined by Mr. Godwin Mureriwa as well as Mr. Rashid Mukundu. Gentlemen, good evening and thank you for taking time to be with us. Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me, sirs?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, awesome. So getting into our conversation, we'll just start off with a little bit of history and then you'll obviously fill in the blanks. So in 2001, the United States of America passed the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, better known as ZEDERA. The law was introduced at a time when Zimbabwe's land reform program had sparked global controversy. So ZEDERA was directed to the U.S. government to oppose Zimbabwe's access to loans, credit from international financial institutions like the IMF, as well as the World Bank, until certain reforms were made. Fast forward 24 years down the line in 2025, there's a proposal to repeal this act. Maybe I'll start off with Rashid. Maybe create a historical timeline for us. What is ZEDERA and its significance and the history surrounding it?
It's exactly as Eva put it. The ZEDERA Act was a U.S. government reaction to political developments in Zimbabwe from the year 2000. I'm sure we all agree that from about 2000 or maybe 1999, when the labor movement and other formations came up with the opposition movement for democratic change, we witnessed a significant polarization political polarization in our society. We witnessed the violence. We witnessed a lack of consensus on the governance of Zimbabwe. But most significantly, we also witnessed the beginning of the fast-track land reform exercise that was led by war veterans. And in reaction to the fast-track land reform exercise and in reaction to the politics in Zimbabwe, the American government came up with the Zedera Act, which was targeting some of our political leaders. It was targeting some state-owned enterprises. It was targeting some private enterprises or companies that the Americans alleged were linked to the ruling elite in Zimbabwe. And the consequences of the Zedera Act was that American representatives to international financial institutions, including the World Bank, including the IMF, and the other such bodies, were under instruction to veto any financial concessions. It could be loans, it could be any assistance that the Zimbabwean government would request. Generally, the act also soured relations between Zimbabwe and the Western world, as the European Union also joined in the in sanctioning Zimbabwe. And up until a few years back, just 2 or 3 years back, we saw the European Union reversing those sanctions on Zimbabwe. And now, as you said, 2 decades later, we are seeing the American government also making a move to remove the Zedera Act. So there seem to be a significant shift. This seems to be a significant shift in American foreign policy. But also, as Takura was saying, I think a momentous political development in relation in the relationship between the Americans and the Zimbabwean government.
Rashid, thank you for that elaboration and explaining that. Over to you, Godwin. Looking at the history of Zedera, the consequences and what its implications have been for Zimbabwe, what do you think is the politics behind America's move at this point in time? Could this be a repositioning of America in Africa?
Well, I think the United States of America has been and will always be in the mood of being the superpower that controls everybody. And in our Zimbabwean context, the land reform program threatened the United States of America's interest in that the land, the resources that they want, particularly the minerals. So when you look at what happened around the turn of the 1990s, around the 1998, there was the land reform program starting. Then we also involved ourselves, take note of our involvement in the DRC. Well, we stopped some American interest in the DRC there. And this is why George W. Bush would say that Zimbabwe is an extraordinary continuing threat to the United States of America's foreign policy. But the sanctions, the diversity of the damages already been discussed earlier on from the other presenters. The point is that the Americans want to have easy access to resources in Southern Africa in particular, and therefore they want to control that region. And there is obviously the competition from China, from Russia and other countries. So these countries that I've mentioned, Russia and China, India and others, they've been partners with us even during the time of the liberation struggle. So our looking at the foreign policy of Zimbabwe is also in that history of cooperation with those that supported us and continue to support us. And those are the same countries also that vetoed against a possible United Nations sanctions embargo on Zimbabwe. So we thank the Chinese and the Russians. Amid that competition for dominance, the hegemony, we realize that America now is trying to, spit away or clear the egg on the face in terms of international relations. They have been very unilateral in the context of the current President Trump, and he has continued the same you know, disregard for international law and the sovereignty and independence of other weaker states. So that kind of hegemony, that kind of dictatorship is a threat to not only Zimbabwe, but also a threat to other countries. So this is why you see the bilateral dispute between Zimbabwe and Britain was then internationalized through those same sanctions. You know, institutions that you have mentioned, IMF, World Bank, and so on, they were given instructions not to deal with Zimbabwe. And the other multinational and multilateral international organizations were also stopped. So it was a kind of a stick hitting on international cooperative organizations and countries to, you know, bow to United States of America's pressure.
It's a game of chess. It's a game of chess. It is a game of chess and a battle, a struggle to scream checkmate at the end of it. If you've just joined us, this is The Platform on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station's exactly 5 minutes to the hour of eight. And on today's edition of the show, we are discussing the United States of America's proposal to repeal the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, also known as ZIDERA. If you have any questions or any contributions that you'd like to make during the course of our conversation, please feel free to drop in your feedback, your message or your comment to our WhatsApp number. The number to do so to is 0772 168 045. Rashid, we've just basically created a foundation in terms of understanding the inception or the introduction of ZIDERA, what its implications and consequences have been for Zimbabwe. Now, looking at the future going forward, looking at the conditions that have been set out in this proposal, do you think these conditions are feasible for Zimbabwe to meet? Maybe you can just also just allude to the conditions that have been set out.
Well, it's a transactional sort of arrangement in which the Americans are saying if Zimbabwe does compensate white commercial farmers who lost their land or their farms during the land reform exercise to the tune, I think, of over $3 billion US dollars, then the relations will be reset by the removal of ZIDERA. I want to look at this from a positive end and say, our own government has made indications that they are negotiating with the white farmers who lost their land. The negotiation with white farmers is part of the debt restructuring exercise that President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been leading with the Africa Development Bank. It has also involved the likes of the former Africa Development Bank executive, Mr. Adesina. It has also involved the former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano. Yes, these are cumbersome conditions that the Americans have said, but I want to look at this from a positive perspective and say it's a starting point. Instead of us maintaining a state of a stalemate with the Americans, at least there is a starting point. There is, I think, a general acceptance from our political leadership, from our government, that some compensation of sorts needs to happen. Whether we do have the money or not, I think that will be, that is a different issue for us to be looking at. It's also an issue of the Americans still seeking to maintain some dominance and leverage of sorts. And it's really up to the Zimbabwean government to then negotiate on how this is done. My own take is that the 3 something billion is a lot of money. We in a country which has so many needs, developmental needs, that we need to be tackling. Is this money to be paid within the period that the Americans have said, in a year or so? I don't think, again, that is feasible. But for me, this is a starting point for negotiation. We need to look at it positively in the sense of normalizing relations. The Zimbabwe being a friend to all, enemy to none, a foreign policy of this government. And also looking out for Zimbabwean national interest in removing the risk tag that comes with being sanctioned by some of the global powers, the Americans included. But I think these terms will certainly need to be renegotiated. My take is that they are cumbersome. We may not be in a position as a country to meet this demand at this moment. But the positive thing is that there is a starting point that the Americans want to remove these sanctions.
Mm-hmm. Rashid has taken a more optimistic approach to looking at this. Godwin, do you share the same sentiments, particularly given your earlier sentiments about it being really a game of power and control?
Well. I agree to some extent from what my fellow colleague has been talking just recently. But what is very important is to realize that, yes, realism, the use of power is there in politics. It is key. It is about, just like the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. So weaker countries tend to compromise on issues because why they seek security from others, why they want investment from others, and so on. So in my view, the reality of the whole thing is that Zimbabwe is now in a new dispensation under a new second republic. So the foreign policy has also shifted to say, let the bygones of the disputation of the land reform program be under the water, and we try to solve it locally using Zimbabwe's laws and using Zimbabwe's institutions. So it is a very good starting point to have that. But what is also important is to realize that the new foreign policy enhances cooperation. International relations. Zimbabwe wants to be, you know, an enemy of no country. It wants to have friends everywhere. When we have friends everywhere, it means we can have good bilateral relations, we can have good diplomatic channels to iron out even grievances that relate to war, that relate to genocide and other issues that are of global importance and need global, you know, attention from all countries. So in the new republic, I think it's good that when we have more competitors for resources, more competitors for investment opportunities, it means just like the law of economics, when there is so much demand, the price goes up. So we get more from our resources. More so when there is, you know, beneficiation of these minerals that we're talking about, so that we can improve the condition and the value of our minerals through use of technology. And that is very, very key for us. So we have to bargain, yes. We want partners, but we don't want masters. That is Zimbabwe's foreign policy from even 1980. So in my view, yes, it is about accepting that effort to remove the sanctions there. It has to also just be total in terms of implementation. Remove the sanctions completely so that the engagement between Zimbabwe and the United States of America is mutual. It is based on the respect of the sovereignty of other countries, their independence and their strategic interests within the region also and globally. So that kind of relationship, in my view, will then stop the kind of aggression that comes from the superpowers. Because then there is cooperation through dialogue, through diplomacy, to iron out issues and to be able to come to the table, discuss and establish good relations that are mutual in terms of impact on the countries involved and also impact regionally and globally. So it is about having an order that is not disorderly. Because what we see now in terms of the violence that we've seen in other countries like the Gaza, what we've seen in Ukraine and Russia, what we've seen as potential also, or even triggering a third world war, we see that this disorder has to be stopped, and it can only be stopped through good international relations based on diplomacy.
Okay, Godwin, just to dovetail, you highlighted the issue of sanctions. Would you say that this bill is somewhat a recognition that sanctions failed to achieve the intended goals?
Well, let me give an example that is very reminiscent of what we are proposing to discuss. You know, in 2010, when we had a government of national unity, the government of Zimbabwe sent a delegation that comprised of Elton Mangoma, Priscilla Misairambwe Mshonga, and Kombe Jinamasa from ZANU-PF. So all the three parties in the government of national unity were represented in a delegation that was sent by government to say, go to the European Union and say, things have stabilized in Zimbabwe. Now I have a GNU, our economy is stabilized. And I'm sure everybody remembers the period of the GNU. Things were just right. There was peace, there was no competition for power, and even violence had gone down. So when they went to the European Union, then chaired by France, they said, we now want to have the sanctions removed on Zimbabwe. But the response of the European Union was, and I want to quote them verbally, they said, one, it is not about democracy, the MDC, or any such nebulous ideas, like, you know, the talk of human rights, good governance, and so on, that was imposed sanctions on Zimbabwe. It is about our interest as individual European countries and collectively as the European Union. They said, too, it is not about the progress that you make in your government in terms of stabilization of the economy, like I said, and other issues. It is about our reading of the progress with respect to our interests, singly and collectively, as the European Union. So, simply saying, it's not even about what we think when we talk about democracy and the threat of to human rights and so on. They said it is not about all those. It is about our interests, and the interests are on the land and the minerals. So you see, that is how it is working and how it is worked. So what is needed now is for Africa to have a reawakening in terms of making sure that their resources, as we've seen in even West Africa, we've seen some French nationals removed and some companies taken back by the government and so on. That kind of, you know, resolute defense of your territory integrity, your land, your rights, your resources, and so on, is key in terms of the development of the African continent. And that has to be known. And that is a very big threat to the United States of America, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
And you raised,
the United States of America feels very, very threatened by a united Africa that cherishes its values and that cherishes protection of its resources and the engagement that is fair and based on mutual interest.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a conversation to explore for a future edition of this program. The sovereignty and the preservation of Africa's mineral wealth, which is the continent is richly endowed in. But if we're to look at the ordinary person, you know, the average citizen like myself, Rashid, there's generally a sentiment that this repeal of SIDERA may unlock some immediate funding or some much needed financial reforms that Zimbabwe stands to benefit from. But looking at this from the ordinary citizen's perspective, how is this going to affect the average Zimbabwean in the short term? Are there going to be any differences in terms of business opportunities, the cost of living, basically our day-to-day lives as Zimbabweans? We always speak to policies from a policy level and how these affect the operations of a government, the bilateral relations, the international relations, the relations within the bloc. But now looking right down to the grassroots at the ordinary citizens' level, does this impact us in any way?
Well, it does impact us in some way. It's not maybe a direct impact in economic gains for the ordinary citizen, but the removal of the risk tag that Zimbabwe has been carrying for the past two decades or so, the denial of access to international financing. You know, the significance of international financing is that if a government wants to embark on significant public infrastructure projects, it could be your dam construction, it could be investment in the health sector, or such other public services that needs significant funding. Zimbabwe has yet no access to such. And should this matter be resolved and Zimbabwe does get concessionary funding for its public service projects, then that definitely trickles down to the ordinary citizen. The cost of doing business will come down. The cost of even the loans that the private sector, the public sector has access to will also be coming down. The reason that we tend to struggle, I'll give you a very practical example. A year or two back, one or two of our telecom companies were complaining about a lack of access to cheap loans from international bankers and financiers because of the risk that Zimbabwe was associated with as a result of the Zidera sanctions and the negative perception on Zimbabwe. And if that is removed, our private sector, our public sector, has an opportunity actually to access the concessionary funding, and that will trickle down to the ordinary person in terms of employment creation. It may also even include and improve the perception in terms of tourism and improve the investor confidence in Zimbabwe. I'm not foreseeing that this is an immediate, there is an immediate benefit that we'll see. This is likely to be a long drawn affair in terms of our government negotiating and possibly engaging the Americans on this bill in terms of some of its very stringent conditions, especially this 3 something billion that has to be paid to white commercial farmers. But overall, the negative perception on Zimbabwe, I think, tends to benefit us on the basis of concessionary funding and on the basis of investment, but also on the basis of us being more confident in engaging with the international community. The risk factor that Zimbabwe had as a result of these sanctions does not only affect American businesses, it also affects a business person in Shanghai, in Beijing, who is trying to make a decision on investment in Zimbabwe. And when you are carrying a negative perception, you tend to negotiate yourself down. You don't negotiate more confidently because you are in a position of desperation. So you'll see that some of our decisions and the relationships that we have created were also to compensate for this negative perception that has been created by the sanctions, to the extent that some of even our own friends became exploitative because we were in a desperate situation. So if these sanctions are removed and then the negative perception dissipates, and we can negotiate more confidently, we can negotiate on the basis of the value of our mineral wealth that Mrerua was mentioning. We can negotiate on the value of the wealth that we are contributing to the global economy without the desperation that we were in the past years or decades. So for me, I think the trickle-down effect is what we are looking for the ordinary person in terms of access to capital by businesses, hence job creation, but also access to cheap loans should the Zimbabwean government have concessionary funding from international financiers.
13 minutes after the hour of 8, you are tuned in to the platform in CFM Stereo, my station, your station. We are discussing the United States of America's move to repeal the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, also known as Zidera. And I am joined via telephone by political analyst Godwin Mureriwa, as well as Rashid Mukundu. If you have any contributions, any comments that you'd like to pose, or any questions for our guest this evening, feel free to drop your message on our WhatsApp line. The number to send to is 0772-168-045. Godwin, Rashid has indicated the potential for Zimbabwe being able to access international funding and investment. Do you think this is something Zimbabwe can expect to unlock immediately? And moreover, what does this mean for Zimbabwe's economy, its politics, and international relations?
Well, I think what is important to note is that in the realm of the politics in Zimbabwe, you realize that we have to look at the cornerstones of our economy in particular, and our social structures and even the political system. So we have to realize that for Zimbabwe's economy to grow, we have to start from the basics, from the primary stages of every industry. be it in agriculture, be it in mining, be it in manufacturing, and so on. We simply have to make sure that we utilize the land, because the agricultural sector is the biggest contributor to our GDP. And if we have boosted irrigation systems, modern, with the dams that the Second Republic and the prior government have put across the country, you can realize that we can produce lots of food. We have been called the best breadbasket of Southern Africa. We can go back to that status, provided we productively use the land. So we have to harness the energy of our young people who are unfortunately in a situation where most of them are hopeless. Perhaps most of them are into addictions about alcohol, about drugs. They just cannot put a positive, you know, energy to the development of the country. So we have to shape that youthful age, and also make sure that youthful age is skilled to be able to be in the engineering sectors, to be able to be in the mining sectors, because mining also contributes massively to the GDP of the country. So juxtaposed with other institutions to do with, for example, tourism, to do with manufacturing, to do with all the other industries, you realize that we can only develop when we improve our infrastructure, which is the number one strategy of His Excellency President Edi Mnangagwa, that we need proper infrastructure, we need good roads, we need to have access to resources, we need to utilize the resources, and we should be able to benefit from the same resources. So it is about collective effort. The economy can only grow when the situation at the family level is indicative of a good livelihood. When the institution at that level, the family, cannot feed itself, cannot send its children to school, then we have challenges of the same problems you're talking about our young people. So it is important to be geared towards the Vision 2030, because if we are to attain a middle income society by 2030, it means we have to work extra hard as a country, because we are left with a few years to get to that achievement that we aspire to have. So you see, it is about working very hard, and it is also about making sure that we engage the international community in a positive win-win situation. Positive win-win situation. We don't want our resources to be taken for nothing. Then they go there outside the country, they are processed, and then they make billions. We want to be able to add value to our resources locally through partnerships. We want investment. Yes, we want technology from across the globe. Those that want to come and do business with us, we are open for business. That is the new mantra. Zimbabwe is open for business. So we have to be engaging countries and making sure that we benefit the most from our resources. And the benefits of those resources should definitely cascade also to the grassroots, and make sure that the infrastructure at the rural level, for example, is good for human habitation. Mm-hmm. People need water, people need electricity, even if it's solar, and so on, so that there's some improvement in terms of their livelihoods. So development is multifaceted. It's not just about buildings. It is about improving the livelihoods of the people, making sure people have good health services, good education, and so on. Mm-hmm. So it is about collective effort. We have to strengthen our social and historical backbone in terms of the economy of this country. And that way, I'm sure,
Well noted, Godwin. Note, we do have a contribution from a listener. Nia Timin says, so the political analysts are advocating for more loans to be taken from foreign funders and add more to the already high figures of loans taken by the state. Let's advocate for local solutions to problems. Rashid, maybe your reactions to that comment from Nyati?
We are not advocating for Zimbabwe to get more loans. But let's be realistic that no country has leapfrogged in terms of its development without access to concessionary loans. If you go to our bank right now and ask for a loan, you will likely get an interest rate of anything from 15 to 17%. But if you are to get concessionary loans from international financiers, some are as low in terms of their repayment in interest as low as 5% or even lower than this. So if the government is to invest in public services, in roads, in the power development, I was just reading today that we are actually looking at about 400, we are looking at $450 million dollars for the refurbishment of the Wange power station. I don't know who is going to finance that, but the chances are that it's likely to be an outside financial arrangement. And I'm not sure what the interest rate on Zimbabwe is going to be. But can you imagine if the interest rate for that 450 million is going to be 2%, 3%? Then that's quite significant in terms of savings. So this is not we are not looking at the removal of the debt purely from a financial perspective of us getting more loans, but we are looking at us being able to compete fairly as a country. So to allay the fears of the contributor, this is not a call for more loans, but this is a call for Zimbabwe to be treated fairly among all other countries in the world, and that is the removal of the sanctions removes the risk perception that international financiers tend to look at when they are dealing with a country that is under sanctions. And when you are negotiating all these economic possibilities that my colleague is mentioning, the rare minerals that we have, trade relations that we have with the international community, the perception index is a significant consideration. And when that is removed, Zimbabwe actually has a possibility of leveraging on it for either for investment or for any a loan negotiation that our government may see as necessary to leapfrog our development in any sector. So the key issue, of course, this was just an example that we may get concessionary loans, and it is significant that if we were getting loans and repaying at more than 10%, and if you are getting the same loan and repaying it 2-3%, then that's a significant change. So we need to be looking at that. Other countries have benefited across the world, but we also need to start reflecting on our own strategies for financing our economic development. Just this week, the Ethiopians launched the one of the biggest dams in Africa, in fact, the biggest hydroelectric power station and dam in Africa, and this was through local financing. But it's also local financing that is enabled because there's no burden of a negative perception about a different country. So to me, I think this is why the removal of the Zidera Act is a game changer, in the sense that it removes the shackles, perception or otherwise, that has been holding Zimbabwe's development going forward. We need to succeed or fail based on our own merits, without the negative perception being created by global powers, and in this case, the Zidera Act, that Zimbabwe is not a safe political and investment destination. Let us, I think, a fair or a level playing field at an economic level, at a political level, and then we can either fail or succeed based on our own merits.
Mm-hmm. Before we start to wind down our conversation has really been more inward looking and looking at Zimbabwe vis-a-vis the United States of America. Looking from a regional perspective, will this have any impact on SADC, the AU, and other regional blocs? Could there be any reactions, possibly?
Well, yes. Why? Because SADC, as an institution, as a regional bloc, has been calling for the removal of sanctions on Zimbabwe, because it is very clear to SADC that because of the geopolitics, because of you know, the historical context of liberation movement being mainly fought here in Southern Africa, there is a thinking that there is always need for cooperation. There is always need to maintain peace. There is always need to counter terrorism and other threats to regional stability. So Zimbabwe now clears its name through perhaps that revocation of the Sijera. But in my view, it is about time. It is about time. We had to see the sincerity of the Americans in terms of wanting a fair international relations with Zimbabwe. So it's about time. It is about time, but we remain very vigilant to know that much as we want to engage everyone, we should also know their hidden agenda in terms of threatening our independence, particularly in Southern Africa. So I think it's an African consciousness that is even seen across the African continent. People are talking more about Pan-Africanism. People are talking more about unity. People are talking about Africa being self-reliant and being able to cater for the needs of its people because of the massive resources that it has, the good climate, the good soil for agriculture, and so on. So it is about Africa really not thinking always about the loans, thinking about the donations from NGOs and so on, because some of the NGOs have been removed. There are some countries that have been under the what is called the African Growth and Opportunities Act, AGOA, that was supported by the United States of America. It has since been demolished. And we have seen that even some other countries within Africa itself that were friendly to the Americans are finding that it is not about real, truthful and fair love between countries. So it is about...
Gordon, sorry if I may just come in there. As you're preaching the gospel of Pan-Africanism, we have a listener who says, while it is plausible that Zedera be removed and start getting access to developmental funds, we however need to address fundamental issues such as corruption, where we will get huge amounts and achieve very little due to the pandemic of corruption or mismanagement of resources.
Yes, corruption has been a very big issue. Unfortunately, corruption is traceable even in the Bible. It started even in the Garden of Eden. It was corruption. Corruption is a cancer that can destroy the potential of an economy to go up. So definitely it is a fight that is global in terms of corruption. Because corruption actually also involves the same countries that only think that it is in Africa that we have corruption. Yet they are corrupt themselves. They have seen that particularly in elections in America itself, when we have seen the corruption of money, you know, being used as a tool of gaining power. So corruption is everywhere, but it has to be stopped. It is a threat to the security of the country. It is a threat to humanity. It is a threat to the livelihoods of our people. So what is important is to have a collective engagement with other stakeholders that deal with this issue of corruption, so that government in its effort also, and the efforts of other commissions, like the one on anti-corruption and so on, they come together and make sure that corruption is nipped in the bud. It is a cancer, really. It threatens a number of issues, including even economic interests of the country.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, we have very limited time on the show. Would have loved to continue with this conversation, but hopefully we can then, you know, reschedule for maybe some months down the line to see what would any new developments that would have taken place as a result of this proposed bill. As we wrap up our conversation, our parting shots, what are your final thoughts, your analysis on the potential next steps for Zimbabwe in response to this bill?
Well, Zimbabwe will certainly welcome the end of reconciliation and the end of creating justice where an injustice was put on Zimbabwe in terms of all those sanctions that are a very serious burden on the country. So in my view, it is a starting point, and it is time to rebuild the bridges between Zimbabwe and the United States of America. And we know that if the United States of America, you know, bridges the rest of the European Union, the rest of countries like Canada and the Australia and so on, we have also a soft spot on Zimbabwe. So it will go a long way in towing relations with all multilateral and bilateral institutions and countries within the globe. So it's about good relations, and we want to achieve that in Zimbabwe, in keeping with His Excellency trust that we should love every other country and be enemies to none. It is a good sign of appealing to the international community to rethink about Zimbabwe, because Zimbabwe is now becoming more and more different in the positive direction.
Mm. And Rashid, your final thoughts?
Well, it's a significant development, but the question is how do we come together as a people, as Zimbabweans, in light of this significant global geopolitical shifts that we are seeing? A proposal to remove it, the shifts in American foreign policy towards more commercial and economic relations. The question is, are we, people as Zimbabweans, prepared to come together? Are we in a position to reflect on our value systems? Are we in a position to sort out our politics? Are we in a position to remove this hyper-politicization of our, so that we can focus on what really matters, which is the social and economic development for ourselves?
Mm. Rashid, leaving us there with some food for thought, some questions there to ponder on. Gentlemen, once again, thank you for taking time this evening to join us for quite an insightful conversation and a discussion on the United States of America's move to repeal the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act. Thank you once again, and we look forward to future engagements.
Thank you very much. That was a good show.
We've been in conversation with we've been in conversation there with Mr. Gordon Mureriwa and Rashid Mukundi, who are political analysts. And at the beginning of the show there, we had some insights, some contributions from Takura Jangajave. Thank you once again to everyone that tuned in to the platform. Special recognition to Nyasha Tota. Thank you for your listenership. Don't go anywhere. The rest of your programming continues right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host, signing out, Kaya Moyo.
Platform. Step up and speak out. The platform. Step up and speak out.